You were listening to the 1 Million Cups of Appleton. We are a group designed to educate, engage, and inspire entrepreneurs in central Wisconsin and beyond.
Hey everyone, welcome to 1 Million Cups Appleton. We are a weekly gathering of community members and entrepreneurs here to listen to a new company's journey and story, and then provide feedback, ask questions, and see how we can help. I like to call it a weekly celebration of entrepreneurship. We are really excited today to have a friend from Chicago, the Chicagoland area. We have Shiley with Your Social Media Sherpa. Really excited to hear about this. We were just chatting ahead of time about how bad we are, as in Eric and myself, at social media. So expect to learn a lot today. And thank you so much for being here. And feel free to take it away from here.
Thanks so much for having me. I am looking forward to it. I have 5 to 7, is that right?
Yeah, sounds great.
Awesome. Well, here we go. So this is me, the Sherpa. Hello. So I'm Shiley of YourSocialMediaSherpa.com. And I want to help you be unforgettable to your referral network. That's my jam here. So a lot of times, and tell me with a show of your face or a hand, if you potentially you might be neglecting re-engaging your referral network. A lot of us know already that getting a repeat customer or a referral customer is way easier than getting a new one. Yet a lot of people do their marketing without this fact in mind. And I want to make sure that you match your education and your content from your world to their eyeballs. The other part of this is that people oftentimes feel really overwhelmed with all their social media options out there. It's shiny object syndrome. And it gets really messy and really overwhelming, especially when you have to be your own bookkeeper and you have to be the marketer, the salesperson, the service provider, and all those things. And I want to give people clarity on that so they don't have to feel like it's the hardest thing in the world. I want it to feel like it's something that they already know how to do and beyond. Here's the thing. Here's a little face of me here working. The thing that people don't realize, especially if you're a connector like me, where your whole world is all based on relationships, is that you actually have the secret to winning on social media. And it's having an audience, is that you already have a people that loves and adores you, but you need to feed them. So I guide you and your team on how to get content out of your head and to help you stay top of mind with the people that matter the most to you. And I take away the headache. So yes, I definitely, my big thing is I bridge the gap between your understanding of your networking and your efforts on social media and yeah, make you unforgettable. Here is a gaggle of past clients I've had. Each of these represents at least a client in this field. A few notable ones is I had a guy that I know locally here in Chicago who is a matchmaker, or sorry, not a matchmaker, who's a rabbi. And the rabbi guy was like, oh, I'm a sleep consultant. I'm like, when did you become a sleep consultant? This is so weird. How do you go from rabbi to sleep consultant? And I was like, why don't I know this? And I told him, why don't you publish that and share that online? People want to know your story. And immediately people started reaching out because now they get it. And now he has this unique lens about himself. And then I clued you in. I also had another client that was a matchmaker. And one of the things she had was people signing up for her email list because she knew she had to have one, but she wasn't sending a single email. And I'm like, these are your most excited people to work with you, and you're not sending them an email. So I helped her realize that she had a whole pool of opportunity in something that she was neglecting. These are some of the things I do with my clients. So how did I get to this point right here? Well, this is a little nuts. So this is a little bit of a picture of me in high school looking kind of emo, a little like, you know, all dark, a little gothic. I've come a long way since this, but at this age, I did something amazing. I actually joined MySpace. And back on MySpace, I found a bunch of nerds like me that needed a home online. And we needed a place to like harness all of our nerdery. We were fans of the shows Big Brother and Survivor. Are there other fans in here? It's just me. That's normal.
No, fine. Survivor fan here.
Yeah.
I've only seen a few seasons. We just started binging it on Hulu.
Yes, do it. Do it. It's great.
Big Survivor fan here.
Yes, I love it. My people, I never get to find us. Okay, so many stories there. So we actually played online Survivor. That was our hobby. Yes. So we didn't have a home for our community, so I created it. As a 15-year-old, I was managing this online community. Didn't think much of this till I graduated college and applied for a job. And they're like, Shiley, have you ever managed online communities before? And I was like, what have I? And then I was like, wait, I did it on MySpace. And I wrote a kind of vague version of my weird hobby, and I got the gig, and I started freelancing in social media, started doing all these things. Eventually, we kept going to this BNI group. any BNI, people been to BNI before, I'm sure a few of you, right? And one of the people there was like, Shiley, you know, I don't think I can hire you to do my social media. They didn't need to spend a few grand a month on social media. That wasn't the right crowd. But she's like, can I just pay you to sit down with me and show me how to do Instagram? Show me how to do my own social media. And I was like, wait a second. I studied education in Indiana. And I love motivating and empowering people. Maybe this is my best gig. And so from there, this is a few years ago now, I shifted my focus primarily teaching folks about social media. I teach at the University of Chicago. I have a client where I coach 200 women on how to get more consulting clients on LinkedIn. I do a lot of stuff. And then I work with my own people. So that's how I went from this gothic girl to where I am now. Also, social media is what allowed me to make friends as well. So I took all those skills and I gave them to my clients. Some people ask, what is a Sherpa? It's a guide to take you up the mountain that is the crazy world of social media. I know it's overwhelming, but I make it simple. So one of the things that I'm looking for support on today is structure. Structure is an area that I am trying to get better at in terms of many things, whether that be sales or beyond. So one of the things I wanted to show you all to get possible feedback on is the process I take my clients through. So the first one is I do a video review where I essentially like stalk somebody on the internet. I don't know if I love that word, but I like stalk them on the internet because your clients are doing the same thing. I know Andrew was looking me up today too. You never know who's going to look. And if your information doesn't make you shine, you're missing out on a chance to wow someone. Then I do look at onboarding where we learn together and help you learn a couple social media skills that you need to learn and also help you get your story out online, something that people miss all the time. And then there's accountability and support where I make myself available via voice message to answer questions as they come up. That is a little bit of, and then I keep holding them accountable for the months and years to come. This is a little bit of what that looks like. The things that I'm, the choices I'm kind of wondering about is I've sold the video review by itself. I've done the video review with an onboarding session. Then I've done it where I like make someone commit to 3 months, which I think is a good amount of time to get a mindset shift about how their marketing relates to their networking. But the thing that I'm playing with now is potentially doing a monthly group that can meet every month. So I'm trying to figure out if that's a good option for me. So that's a little taste of what I'm wondering about and what I could use your help on. This is some images of me marketing on LinkedIn. These are some of the posts I did. My recent post from Monday already has like 37 likes on it. And I think getting close to 1,000 views. Lots of great conversation started there. Speaking of like this monthly event, I did a client networking event for the last 2 months where I got all my network together in this really cool platform to meet and mingle with each other. And I also included a 30-minute of like kind of like free coaching, thinking that free coaching could be a service that I add on later where my clients can have access to me every month without having to book a one-on-one session. Something I'm playing with. Do anyone want some tips? The last 20 seconds. Great hack is that you know networking is important. Gratitude is the easiest thing on social media. If someone likes and comments on your thing, on any post you put out, always reply. If anything, go to your messages and give them a thank you. That thank you goes a long way, and it tells them that every time you like their stuff, that you're going to thank them and make them feel good about themselves. And they'll keep repeating that behavior. On LinkedIn, like we said earlier, make your profile super stalkable. Make it super interesting. Let them know who you are. I actually give away my favorite LinkedIn profiles on yoursocialmediasherpa.com that you can download and see a bunch of really great examples from a lot of different fields to get some inspiration for your profile. And Twitter, use Twitter to stalk your competitors, because chances are whoever they're following on Twitter are their clients, and that might help you as you're growing your business. So again, my big question here is, what's the best way I can structure my service for long-term growth in a way that I can maintain and enjoy? It's a little bit about me. Connect with me on LinkedIn. I always put out really great tips. Check out my past posts and you're going to get tons and tons of insights like how to promote your podcast or other cool Twitter hacks and other things that you didn't know you needed to know. They're super easy. So that's me, Shiley Hakimian, your social media Sherpa, clarity and accountability to do your own marketing. Thank you. Oh, I get some silent claps. I'll take it. Thank you.
Shiley, hey, thanks so much for your presentation. I do have to bounce, but I just want to say thank you so much. And thanks, everyone, for coming today. Eric's going to take over from here. But I look forward to connecting with you on LinkedIn and following your content as well.
Thank you. And kick butt in your meeting. We're all cheering you on.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, guys. We'll see you later.
All right. All right, so this is where the presentation goes downhill big time, everybody.
Oh, no, I want it. I'm here for it.
So, does anybody have questions or?
Feel free to say them or type them or whatever. Yeah.
So one thing I'd like to say is, Shaili, your presentation today is very timely for me because so I work in business development for CAP Services, and we are working right now on workshops and different teachings that we can put together for business owners. You know, right now, especially business owners are really needing some assistance. And one of the big topics that came up was marketing, especially social media. And we were looking at our own Facebook page and we're not doing a good job. And so we're like, we really need somebody who can teach social media because we're definitely not the experts and we need to learn from somebody. So I'm just wondering, like, obviously I came into the conversation a little bit late this morning, but obviously you're not in Wisconsin, but you're virtual.
I'm very close.
But you're virtual and you can serve any business anywhere, correct?
Yeah, I can serve. Yeah, that's what I've been doing. I've had clients all over the place. I had a lot in California, a lot in Texas, New York, all over.
Good. So is the best way then, like I'm imagining you have a website. I see your social media, Sherpa.com must be your website.
Yep, and I also have your social media, speaker.com. It's the same website, but it takes you to a different page. But yeah, we can follow up too. A lot of groups have been getting me in to like help people better understand how their strengths relate to their own marketing. And I find that a lot of people who are good salespeople or business development people, like there's a lot that they can do online that really overlaps with what they're already doing. And it's not as intimidating and as scary as people think.
So do you share your, I mean, you had talked about having like a monthly or weekly type of networking thing that you were doing.
Yeah.
Do you have something like that set up on your website or your Facebook page as an ongoing? You don't have Facebook? You don't have Facebook. You do have Facebook.
I have all the things. Okay. They're under my personal brand rather than like my business.
And that's fine. Because one of the questions we've asked is Facebook still relevant?
It depends on who you are. And okay, it depends on who you have on there. That's a great question. Please feel free to ask. Because like there's, I always say this, it's like, where are your people? You probably know a lot of people that you serve. Are they following you on that page? Or are you hoping that random people are going to find you? If you can personally invite those people to your page, they're going to be way more engaged as followers than if you just like clicked invite. I can go into like a whole spiel about this.
So we can connect people with you via your email.
Oh, you're talking about like way for people to follow up with me if they want
to? Way for people to follow up with you as well as connect with you. If I want a business, if I have a business who is looking to grow their social media and they're saying, hey, Kitty, who do you know? I can say, well, I actually just met this wonderful entrepreneur, Shaili, who I could send you her email and you guys could connect that way then.
Sure.
Correct? Even if they're in Wisconsin.
We can do, oh, yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I'm in Chicago. Like, it's what? It's either 1 to 4 hour drive over there. So depending on who it is and what they really, really need, you never know. I'm not too far. But yeah, I would say they can go to my website. If they want to schedule a call, they can. But I would say the easiest thing is sign up for my emails on a regular basis and let me know that they heard about me from you on LinkedIn. That's the great way to connect because they'll see really great info. It'll help them get clarity immediately without even working with me. And if they want to, like, I have a full plethora of videos that are public on YouTube of like entire trainings. Right. So they can watch those immediately. But yeah, monthly, I do podcasts all the time too. So there's no shortage of insights that they can get. I've been doing, I don't know, at least a dozen podcasts in the last like few months.
So wow.
Okay. Tons of them. Wonderful. But yeah, go to my website. If they want to sign up for my tips, oh my gosh, that'll give them so many insights. But yeah, I would love to. How can I serve your community? You're looking for speakers or support or training for your wider community?
I do need a trainer. I need a trainer for our marketing and social media. So I will be contacting you about that because I had to look at the dates and see exactly if we're doing that this spring or this fall. So I will definitely be connecting with you on that.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it. I'm cheering on all the goodness. Yes. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah.
Yes.
Amazing. I'll make sure we connect on LinkedIn too.
So I'd be interested in learning more about what you think. I know you didn't do anything yet, but with that monthly idea, because as a small business owner, you know, the social media gets really overwhelming. And then you wonder, am I doing anything with my business to grow my business? I mean, that aspect is very important to us all. But also, you know, how do you juggle the right amount of time? And so I'm interested in learning more about your the monthly or your weekly you thought that you had there.
The monthly, you're talking about the monthly social media package where like I'm working with people ongoing.
Yeah.
So there's a few, there's the, this, like, if I continue with this client networking thing, there's like a 30-minute block that any of my clients can now come to get some additional support on a monthly basis. The way that I know works really well is that at least getting on the phone with me for like an hour every 2 weeks. Like, I think that's the best, but I don't always get to do that with every client. What I have been hearing from some of my clients is that like, over the course of a year, let's say we worked together like 6 months ago or a year ago, like then they're like, oh, right. Okay. Now I'm putting these pieces together. Like there's like a long-term like effect where they're kind of building these things out and they're realizing, oh, I need to do this. And so like, I know that having something long-term is really, really valuable for this, is that they're calling me. They're like, Shiley, I'm doing like, I think this, like the sleep consulting guy, I haven't talked to him in a few months. He reached out to me and he's like, oh, remind me again how many emails I should be sending every month. And like, I was like, yeah, this is great. Like he's doing the thing that I told him like a few months ago. So it's nice. So there's that piece where if someone's going to really take all this and run with it, at least an hour every other week is really helpful to getting them refocused and checking in on whatever they did in the last few weeks. And it's very low key, not overwhelming, all that kind of stuff. So that's one way of going about it. And the group call is another idea that I have that could be a way to like keep people connected without feeling like the whole, like when I was a kid, I didn't want to waste anything. So using up an hour session, it's like, oh, I don't know if I should use it now. Do I have enough questions? And I'm like, no, I want you to come anyway. Because it's going to help you. It's going to make you feel more motivated rather than you trying to like find your own motivation.
So kind of doing almost a networking at the same time with fellow other businesses then almost.
Yes. So I thought an hour networking, if people do a lot of that, people get tired of it. I did 30 minutes of networking at the beginning. So it's very light. If somebody just wants to come for that, they can, which a lot of my clients just want to network with each other. I'm like, great, here you go. And then the other 30 minutes, if they have Q&A or they can keep networking or whatever. So I think it sounds like you all like that idea. It sounds like it might be positive.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's cool. There's just to follow up on my other one then. So when you're having those kind of things, those are pretty much your consulting, right? I would assume just kind of consulting what you need to do versus doing it, right?
I mean, yeah, I'm more that. Yes.
Okay.
I find that like it's not good if you like hire someone to do your social media without really knowing why they're going to do your social media, because it makes the social media manager look bad. It makes you not get results, which makes you lose money and everyone's unhappy. I find that like there's great social media managers and there's great business owners, but like without that knowledge in between those two worlds, it gets really, really messy. So I am that step before. You know, if you don't understand what you need to do or where your audience is, like you're missing it. And a lot of it's like literally it's like, who is your network and are you connected to them on one of these platforms? If not, should we bring them to one of them? And once we figure that out, you'll realize it's really related to what you're already doing in your business. I'm not getting you random people from the sky. I'm helping people who know you learn that you are a rock star, what you do.
Focus. Yes. Yep.
Like, exactly.
Thank you. Thank you for answering my questions.
Absolutely. I'm here for you. Any questions on social media stuff or business? I'm here for that. So you're a great group.
That actually made me think of a question. So like, do you focus more on the, you know, like educating someone that's like newer to social media and kind of just trying to like figure it out because they're overwhelmed and they're a small business owner? Or do you focus, and they're not exclusive, I suppose, but or do you focus more on like the strategy, even if like someone like knows all most of the technical pieces and or is doing something already, but is like not sure if it's effective or, you know, like looking for like a strategy for, you know, setting goals and like actually accomplishing something rather than just, you know, posting and like having a presence?
Oh, this is a great question. So actually, this is funny. A lot of my people, I don't need to convince them to get on social media. They're already doing it. They probably have what you said, like the presence. They have stuff going on and they're probably doing it because they feel like they have to. A lot of times there's different levels, right? Like, it's funny. Every one of my clients comes to me like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be the worst person. I'm so horrible. You're going to like laugh at me. And I'm like, oh no, you have all of these things working for you. And they don't give themselves enough credit. So it's not necessarily they're newer. They already people that like know that social media matters to their business. They just haven't gotten it right. So, and one of my clients, I bless her. She gave me this quote. She's like in her like late 60s. And she is now probably qualified to be a social media manager. Like, it's amazing what she's learned in the last year. She said, Shiley, you have this ability to take people where they are and take them where they want to go. Is that there's plenty of these e-courses out there. And one of my clients is a course seller, and a lot of them, they can't adapt it to your strengths and your skills and what you already have. Everyone has a different superpower with this. And, you know, when I do the video review, I usually can tell where their strengths are. Like, I had this insurance agency, right? She had a great network on LinkedIn. Tons of people loved her stuff, but she wasn't putting out anything relevant on there. Like, she has the easiest opportunity on there, but she didn't know to use it. So it's helping them get more out of what they have and not waste their time. Kind of like what Ted was saying, like very focused on it. taking them like wherever their level is. Because usually it's a few clicks. People are like, oh, I get it now. And that's, I love that. I love that. Does that help answer, James? Or is there follow-ups from you too? I'll take them.
No. Yeah, no, that's cool. And then like with that, like who is your target customer? Like it sounds to me like it's likely like small business owners or like entrepreneurs or, you know, like small members of small teams. Is that, is that it? Or is it like, are there others or did I get it wrong?
No, it that's kind of what it is. People have been like being like, Shiley, it's not niche enough. You got to go down. And I'm like, I've been doing a lot of speaking engagements to like a lot of communities. I have a lot of different entrepreneurs. When people see what I do that like need it, they're like light bulb goes. I'm like, oh, Shiley, I need you. And I love that. So that's how I've been finding it. And that's why there's a big range. But yeah, I love the small teams. I love being like the kind of facilitator. Like I had another workshop that I do where I really help people communicate more effectively. And I took all those superpowers and I like help bridge the social media manager with the business owner. And I like love doing that. So the small teams thing is really cool. Yeah, I'm not, I will say one, and I saw a lot of you have really great sales experiences. I haven't done any cold outreach like ever. And that scares the junk out of me. And I probably need to get out of that, but I have it. Everything's been either through my own marketing or through networking. So that's something I'm wondering about, but yeah, it's a little bit about the people that I serve. They are small businesses. I know it's not the most scalable, but I know there's a lot of need that I can solve. So I'm trying to figure out, right, that balance of like, how do I make this, you know, more larger growth potential? It's a lot of questions that you've sparked, James, and you are spot on.
Do you have like a monthly, you know, income then from a company, maybe a small company that maybe you can, you know, have that ongoing consulting, but at X amount of dollars per month, at least that keeps that revenue consistent, you know?
Exactly. I have a few like that. Like, so I have some bigger clients that are like that. And then the other ones where I'm like working one-on-one with like the variety that you saw too. I don't always have those. They're not the most predictable, but they come in. So, and I also do speaking engagements. So that's also fun. So it's another revenue source that I have.
So Shiley, you, I think you said earlier, it sounds to me like you enjoy bringing people together to teach them as well as to let them network.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. I've been doing that for years. You're right. I do like that.
That's part of sales. I mean, you're selling. I mean, even if you offer a free, you know, half an hour networking session monthly, just to get people together, you'd be surprised how many people want to network and want to get their businesses out there. And as long as you're also talking about your business, even if you're giving them just a 5 or 10 minute lesson, you're showing them, hey, this is a service that my business could use. And you could probably, let's say you had a room of 30 people or even 20 people, you'd probably get at least 2, 3, maybe even 5 calls out of there saying, hey, I really need your business.
Yeah.
And you may not get them right away, but down the road, you might get them.
Sure.
So I think a monthly networking session minimal, if you're open to that and enjoy that, I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that actually could serve you well, even if it's free. That's my opinion. I don't know.
Well, so here's the other thing. I wanted at one point I wanted my business like 5 or 6 years ago to be like creating events every month and like selling tickets or whatever. And then I realized there's a lot of suffering to host networking events, and there's a lot of terrible networking events, and it takes a lot of work to get them right and to build that community. And it's like if I'm not getting paid for that battle, or if not serving my past clients, like it's a nauseating feat. But like it's a lot of work, and it's something that I just don't want to touch. But if I do have it where it's built into like, and there's like a lighter package that people can pay to be a part of that extra slot, like I'm all in for it. It's just, even just putting on these once a month has been like a lot of work. And it's like to do it for free where people, like I've seen other competitors do it. And I'm like, she's not making any money on this. She's giving away so much. And she's like, oh, if you want to sign up, pay $100 a month for my other thing. And I'm like, is that all you're selling? Like, I wonder if she has any revenue from it. Cause it's like, it's a lot of suffering for, I think there's some results there, but it's a tricky one. But I haven't done the webinar thing, or like, maybe it is a webinar networking thing. So I don't know. But if I do like the networking thing, maybe I need to stick with this at least once a month thing. Maybe I need to appreciate that, cause it is one of my things that I enjoy. So, and my clients have loved it. So I was like, oh, great. Maybe I'll invite more clients. But you're right, there is a good value to networking. Also, if you want the best networking thing, Toucan Events is the best thing. I actually made a list of like all these great tools for like hosting great networking events and beyond. But Toucan Events is a great place to host an event that feels like it's real life. Anyway, I talked a lot there. Thank you, Kitty. I appreciate it. Oh, there's two of you in the same room. That is freaking me out. Eric and Tracy are in the same room. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
took you that long to figure that out, huh?
There's an arm. I'm like, I see that. I was like, what?
Hi, Shiley.
Hi,
I have a
Amy.
Question for
yeah,
you.
Please.
So I don't love social media and feel really like a fish out of water. I use it really to promote the work we do at our entrepreneurship center here at the college. And we have groups on Facebook, and Facebook is my least favorite of all social medias, but this weird thing has been happening in my life. So I have entered the world of virtual reality and have one of those headsets and go into alt space, and I have my avatar, and I think I'm going out there just to check it out and see what's going on. And then I realize all these people can see me, and they come up and start talking to me and networking with me, you know, from all over. It's amazing. But I had this epiphany over the weekend thinking about this with relation to the Venture Center and how what we can create out in virtual reality for our clients. But it hit me. Oculus, who I have this headset from, right, is owned by Facebook. And now Facebook is pushing us all to groups, right? That's really the thing on Facebook that is driving. They're trying to get everybody into groups. And now they're making everybody make avatars, or encouraging everybody to make avatars on Facebook or with Facebook. And I'm just wondering what you know about Facebook, social media. Are they going to, because they own Oculus and now they've come out with Quest and Quest 2 and they're creating all these worlds in virtual reality, are they trying to get everybody on Facebook now to create these avatars, get more comfortable with that so they can move their groups into that virtual reality space for networking?
Whoa, I don't, you know, this is a juicy one because I don't know a lot about the Oculus stuff. They do have, groups are great. They do have rooms. So I'm like, if they're not going to neglect the rooms thing.
Yep.
I mean, are they trying to get people to rooms and then go? Because I didn't even know they were trying to do stuff with VR. But they do have a the rooms is the networking tool there. They also had like a thing at one point where you could get like a mentor within the same Facebook group and they would match you with someone, which was like really random. So there's tools like that for networking that are interesting. I just don't think they're very well advertised or utilized, but I don't know about this. So thank you for educating me.
I'm just wondering if I should not be hating Facebook and be embracing Facebook and learning more about their groups and getting our entrepreneur community, getting those groups, like focusing my time on making those groups really valuable and worthwhile. I want them to be, obviously, for them, but for the people that are in them. But more to help each other, right? But I'm wondering if we should be focusing on that more, building out more on Facebook for the eventual, once they say, okay, now you can take your group and you can meet in virtual reality. And then we all with our would be out there networking in virtual reality rather than just messaging each other in a group, right? And communicating that way.
So the VR stuff, I'm not totally sure about. I honestly, to get people to adopt that is really hard. Like I happen to have like a cardboard VR set, but like, I don't know, like that part is going to take a lot of time for society to all want to have it. So I feel like for that to work, if you need a very invested group in VR, Facebook groups are more valuable. You do get a lot more reach. It's funny, one of my clients, we have like 200 people in our Facebook group, right? Help coach these people. And we're trying to move to another platform, but nobody has that algorithm like Facebook does. Is that you'd be like, oh, Amy, you haven't looked at this group today. You should check it out. And it gets people in. And so there's a lot of value to that. But it takes someone who like has to love it. Like you have to love, like, if you're already connecting with these entrepreneurs outside of the Facebook group, it makes it a lot easier for that Facebook group to thrive. And if you you have to keep consistently posting cool icebreakers and topics and answering people's questions. A lot of them, there's a lot of dead Facebook groups. So it's like, it has to be like something that you love to do. It has to be.
Life support.
So it's hard. If it's on life support, you can bring it back. It has to be something you love. And if you're trying to choose between 10 different social media things, or you're doing a little bit of all of them, you're going to miss out. So, and I don't want you to miss out. I don't want you to miss out, or I don't want you to feel like you're scattered here. Cause sometimes a really good email list every other week could be really strong too. Like they're all related, right?
Right.
What's working for you right now? Where are you putting in your energy that you feel consistent about? Or is there?
I think we get, I get a good response on LinkedIn. I get lots of people that message me on LinkedIn, which always shocks me because all I do is really promote the Venture Center and what we're doing and trying to get more resources out for entrepreneurs and small business owners. But I think, LinkedIn and for me personally, my favorite platform is Twitter. That's where I have my own, you know, personal follow. I love Twitter. I think Twitter is great. I love who I follow on Twitter. I'm not in the cesspool Twitter. I don't have that experience, but I think it's because I've really worked hard to curate my feed.
There you go.
One that is valuable to me, right? And hopefully then the people following me, what I share is valuable to them.
That's it, right? And you love that. You love Twitter. I'm going to even put my Twitter and LinkedIn on there because I'm like, I want to connect with you now. But that's what, like, right, that same mindset, right? You already know who's following you. You know who you're speaking to, and you know the content matters to who they are. If you don't feel that with that group, then it's not going to be as exciting or as good. So it's like, how do you, like, what, where can you find that excitement, but also like where your people are that you need to serve for the business? Because I don't know if you're using that for the business. Twitter, I'm not always like a go run with Twitter, but if you're already into Twitter, there might be room there, but not everyone's on there. But LinkedIn is huge. LinkedIn groups suck, but LinkedIn's great for posting content. It has a lot of organic reach that Facebook doesn't.
Right.
So there's a lot of room there. Do you feel like all the people that you want to serve are connected to you on LinkedIn or the page?
I don't know. No.
Okay.
And I appreciate your tip. It's helpful. You know, you said anybody who comments or even likes, like I try to, when someone comments, respond and thank them. I love your tip about just going into the messages and thanking them.
Yeah.
That's very helpful. Huge. And then I only focused, you know, I didn't pay too much attention of people who are just liking something on LinkedIn. It's more of, you know, if they're engaging or commenting, but that's really helpful. I'll pay more attention to that now.
Do it. You, and this is like, you know, I'm sure if there's some sales people who love sales in here, like that's the greatest touch point, because like getting on the phone with someone is really hard, but now you've just given them a chance to talk to you that took you 20 seconds. And if they ever, and this is the funnest hack and it works all the time, if they ever had a question for you about anything that you do or your world, you've just made it super easy for them to ask, because they're not going to go pick up and put the effort into asking you. And I had this happen like every week whenever I follow up with people, like, oh, Shiley, wait, I might want to talk to you about your service down the line. And I'm like, great. Now, do I have the best sales process? No. Do I have a lot of people calling me? Yes. That is another thing that I'm trying to structure better.
Well, but, we can connect offline. I think I might be able to help you with some structure.
I appreciate it.
In your business.
Oh, that's very kind.
You do. But yeah, let's definitely, we'll connect and keep our conversation going. Thank you.
Absolutely. You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you for sharing all that. Kitty, you had a question. Is it possible to post too much in a group and drive people away? I wouldn't spam people. One of the groups I like actually love, because like it's all these really great speakers. This lady, she like posts every week, like, thank you for welcome to the new page, welcome to the five new people. She posts the same thing every single week, and it's great to welcome new people to the thing, but like when you post the same post every week, like I become less engaged in that group. So like I do like a welcome one every like few weeks maybe, or like I think you want to make sure that whatever you're posting is going to be somewhat interesting, or you feel like might get an opportunity for conversation to be started. I wouldn't just post willy-nilly in there. But also too, I would post consistently. So like in my group, I'm like, I ask a new question every week. Like, what emoji or GIF can you post in here that describes your work week? And then people will post all sorts of things and people will have a conversation. Or I'll quote my client with one of her like tips. One of her tips is like, let me stop and start overthinking, or I don't know, something about not overthinking. And I like, quoted it and people loved it. Or like, I'll reshare something that someone in the group posted a few weeks ago that was like a really relevant story that other people maybe have not seen. And that usually helps. Is there follow-ups to that?
Well, so I was just, cause I'm a part of a couple of groups, and you know, we get so many notifications on our phones and our emails mm-hmm. and just everything else. So it can just become like, oh my gosh, I'm just starting to ignore notifications, right? Because there's just so many of them. So I know one of the groups I have, she posts like 3 times a day, and I'm like, I don't have time to follow you 3 times a day. I'm sorry. You know, if it was something super interesting, maybe.
There you go.
So that's the key, is if it's something that's interesting that people are going to want to learn about or read or engage in, then it's okay to post 3 times a day. Okay.
Yes. But here's the thing with 3 times a day is that if you do 3 times a day, you need to stick with 3 times a day for like ever. Because and that's a lot of work. People look at me like I'm crazy. I post once a month on LinkedIn because once a month is what I can maintain, but I've been doing it for over 2 years. And there's a reason that every single month people remember me consistently. I had someone call me the other day who I haven't seen in like a year and a half, she's like, Shiley, I see you all the time on LinkedIn. It's because I'm doing the work on the back end that I'm staying in these people's heads and I'm educating them on something that they want to know more about. Like, you all are curious about social media. I put out really great tips every month that people are like, oh, I didn't know that. And now they think Shiley's such a genius. I'm like, yeah, great. I can be a genius. Like, see, okay.
That's really helpful though. Because yeah. I think people think when you say consistently, I do think that, at least in my mind, and I think what I hear from clients too, is that yeah. Well, I don't have time to post every day.
You don't have to.
No, you don't have to. You're saying you don't have to post every day. You can post every other day. You can post once a week. Yeah. You can post once a month, as long as you're doing the same. Yeah, you're doing it every single time.
Exactly. Okay. Because it's huge.
That's great. I love that. Thank you.
Yes. And a follow up, one of the tidbits I tell people all the time is like, think of your like favorite TV show. Like, what if it like canceled mid-season and they didn't tell you? Like, that's what it is. You are your own show. You're your own production company. You don't want to end mid-season and people be like, what happened to them? Like, this happened on like TikTok with some people where I was like, TikTok loves people who post all the time every day. And I was like, whatever happened to that guy, the nurse guy that used to give really funny jokes all the time? And I stopped seeing him. It's because he stopped posting, you know? It's at, like, and then the algorithms were like, no, we want someone who's got a series that's going to keep producing for us. So it takes a lot of work to do that. But yeah, you don't have to do as much as you think you do, but you should stick with it. And that's really key. Like, there's coaches that'll say you need to post 5 times on Instagram to get traction. And they might be right, but like, they don't understand what it's like to be in your shoes as an entrepreneur. They have no idea. And then they're selling content to teach you how to be a social media manager, but that's not what people want to do. So anyway, that's a big thing, and it's okay. Just, but like, also too, like, just the greatest thing is that think of every FAQ that you get on phone calls. Like, what do people call you asking about? That is the easiest content you could put out. That's the simplest thing. Like, you know, how do I get, you know, how do I get financing for a car? Or like, you know, how do I, you know, sell this app? Or like how, what, why do I need this app? Like, what are the problems that you're addressing? Like, people don't ever share that. And that's what people want to know. So there's a lot more interesting that people have to put out that they don't even realize they can. These are great. This is, y'all are such a fantastical chapter. I like,
adore you. That was a lot of help, actually. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. James, I see. Are you chiming in? Or some? Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, I know that I feel like you asked us a question for like feedback and we didn't talk about it. So I'd be happy to, like, if you want to like rephrase that and see if there's anything that we could provide. I remember it being interesting, but now the conversation's gone.
Oh, it's okay.
Places, so
I love it.
Question anymore.
I actually really love all of this. So like, I think like Amy was kind of touching on this a little bit too. Like, I definitely could use help with structure. Like, I have the thing that people don't tend to have. I have good marketing. Like, my marketing works, which is great. Everyone's like, how do I get more clients? I'm like, no, I have people calling me. But like, I don't always have the best way of like capturing them. One of the things I've been liking to do is like sending them, like, instead of doing a sales call, which I don't love sales calls. I need to vet them before they get on the phone with me. From what other people have taught me. One of the chapters told me, record yourself in your sales process. And then I had my like intern like write it out for me. And then I was like, okay, so maybe I send people a video being like, they tell me what their problems are, and I'll send them a response video, getting to know them better. And then I did that back and forth with someone and they became a client. I was like, oh, that's great. I never got on the phone with her for a sales call, and she like adores me. So like, that's one thing I've been trying to figure out. But like, it's weird. So I thought of this the other day too, is that like, I appreciate context. Like, the reason my social media works is I know the context. I know who I'm talking to. I know who's in the room when it comes to my LinkedIn. But when it comes to like a sales conversation, I'm like, there is no context there. I have to build the context. So maybe that's my question. Like, to like, what's my excuse to go talk to them? Well, like, when it comes to like, right now I'm like thinking about like pitching like 3 different sororities to do speaking engagements for them. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell these people if I'm cold outreaching to them. I've been told by someone in the industry that they want LinkedIn trainings. So I don't know, what do I say? Maybe that's my question. Like, where do I start? Like, how do I create the context when they don't know me? I can do that with social media, but like, these people weren't hard to find on social media. So like, all my other tips are like kind of gone. I don't know. Anyway, lots of thoughts. I put out a lot of questions there, James. Welcome to my brain.
Well, it'd be fun to connect more anyway, because I like love this stuff. I also have a background in education and entrepreneurship specifically. So, but I mean, I think that like, some of it is like what you're describing, just starting to think a little bit more about codifying some of it, like break it down, you know, like, who are the people? How did they find you? I mean, I personally think it's always best to start most any sales conversation with like questions and getting to know them. If you start with you and like what you do, like,
you're gonna
automatically turn people off anyway, obviously, but it doesn't tell you what they need. And to your point, like, they might need different things. So pitching them you know, Facebook groups training when they want LinkedIn support.
Right.
Like, if you don't know that, then like you're going to be not talking to them about what they want. I mean, there's like a lot of like processes and like systems on the back, and I can share more thoughts on too from my experience in sales and outreach. But but I do think it depends a little bit on like what you're, you know, like how you like what you know about them already. Like I also think like sharing what you do know about them is like another way to show that you've done your homework, and then see what they then want to add on that they find relevant, or if like you had misunderstandings or anything like that too. And then it helps you. Like you, it seems like you know your stuff, like you know, and you could even like on the fly tell people what could be helpful to them if they gave you some problems in the social media realm, you know, and then like that way it lets you kind of like shine in a natural way.
Right.
Doesn't make it overly salesy where you just come in like trying to hard sell. So.
Which I don't want to do with the hard sell. So like, okay, so let's say I've got these, like at least three women that I found that are, they're people that are coordinators for three specific sororities. Right. I want to send them something. I know that there's demand, but like also they have no idea who the heck I am. I know we have something in common culturally that I can leverage. I've Googled them a little bit. So there's some, I can pull out some personal nuggets, but like they can stalk. If they want to know if I'm a good speaker, they can stalk me and they can find that out. So like, am I not going into it being like, I happen to be a speaker, or am I going into being like, hey, I like, actually the way that I got the first guy who's a booker in this space, I tweeted at him. Like it was great. Twitter was great. I tweeted at him and then he's like, actually, I want you on my podcast. I was like, oh, great. Cause he probably Googled me and looked me up and saw that I was legit. So I'm like, I don't know. Like I asked him like, hey, is that LinkedIn training something that you're interested in? Like, should I lead with a question as a cold outreach to try to research them, like make them feel special, but like ask them questions via cold outreach the same way that I would on a sales call? Is that what I should do?
I think you'll like, I mean, to be honest, I think some of it's like trial and error, depends on the customers, but generally that's not a bad idea. And I also think like being transparent about like why you're connecting with them, like is also a good idea. Like how do you already know them? Like, why are you reaching out to them? You know, be upfront about it, like the way you probably would want people to be with you. That helps to build a personal connection, and then share, like build trust with them. However you have that information, like a given mutual connection, you have shared background, whatever it might be, and then like share the problem you think they have for whatever reason you think they have it, and then see if that's true, and then position yourself as someone who could give them more, or like be their guide. But like, you don't need to like go into that too much, because if they don't have the problem, they don't want to know more, and then you're wasting their time anyway. So you want to give them a little bit without like making them read a 5-paragraph email, I think.
Like, right, short and like, sweet.
Your way to get out there first. But that'd be my thoughts. I'm sure other people in this group have a lot of ideas too.
Well, you said that should you lead with a question? And I think the better approach would be not to lead with a question, but lead in a way to have them ask you questions.
Okay, we have an example. I know you don't know a lot about probably the space that I'm talking about, but I have an example. So like in this case, like, I don't know, how would I, like, I'm trying to think like an outline of how I'd write this email.
I see, like in my head, I would draft something that would try to get them talking about the issues they're having in social media. Okay. And then that's kind of your foot in. They ask the questions. Now, you know, they have an interest. You can answer those questions for you and then grow the relationship from there.
But okay, so am I putting out like, so okay, so maybe this is what James is saying of like naming, like, is this your problem? And then that being a lead in for them wanting to share more? Is that what you're thinking, Eric?
What I'm thinking is you go to them, you introduce what you do and say, I'm curious, what are your issues with social media? Allow them to tell you what their issues are. Now you're opening it up. So now if the person never responds to you, well, apparently they don't see social media as important, or they don't have questions with social media. So you just move on from that person. But if the person does respond, now you have a whole list of things that they're concerned about that you can use to start developing that relationship.
Uh-huh.
Well, and one of the things I was going to add to that, Shelly, was, so, you know, what I do is, you know, I tell people, okay, I work in business development, I work with entrepreneurs. So yours would be, you know, I work in social media, I help businesses with their social media. You know, where do you think you have some issue, you know, areas where I can be of help for you, you know, be of use for you? And let them tell you, like Eric said, let them tell you what they think they need help with. A lot of times what we find is that business owners and entrepreneurs, think they know what they need. And some days they really do know. But sometimes when you listen to them and you hear them out, you might say to them, why do you think you need help there? Or what are you doing currently? And you might learn what they're doing. You might think, okay, you know, actually you're not doing too bad there, but what you could do is this. And you could say to them, you could probably offer them more than they even realize they need help in an area. So I think it's a combination of what James and Eric are saying. You know, you don't really, like James said, you want to let them know you've researched them, you know who they are, you know, maybe some areas they could use some help. But like Eric said, you want to tell them who you are, first of all. You know, I work in social media. I work with businesses. I help them in this area. Where do you think you need some help that I can give assistance with? And let them tell you that. And then ask them further, you know, what are you doing currently in those areas? Or what, you know, what do you think you could do differently? And I think that would help you to know, okay, well, this is where I think you could really, you know, or who's your customer? You know, I think James or Ted, one of them asked you, who's your demographic? And that's an interesting question, because do you know who your demographic is? And then that helps to know who you're marketing and how to market to them.
Yeah.
I don't know if that helps or not, if that confuses it more.
No, it's, I'm trying to like write as you're all talking. I'm like, what is the draft email? And I literally, this is hilarious. I'll tell you this. I just coached like my intern on how to do this outreach to like someone on her campus. And like, they were very interested. And I was like, oh, okay. And I coached her on how to like make the email interesting and indulgent for the person reading it. And I told her how to do it and she did it great. And I'm like, wait, now I'm in the same boat. But like, I don't know these people. These people are like nobody. They don't know anything about me. So I'm like trying to draft an outline of something I can send. So like right now it's like, and usually and this is how in social media speak, I always start with what's interesting for them. So maybe like I need to use that as my marketing knowledge of like, make it about like as interesting as possible for them, but use all the pieces that you all said. Maybe that, I see Tracy's nodding. So I'm like, okay, maybe that's what I need to do. Maybe I need to send that same email of like, hey, like maybe like tell, maybe this is like a great place to brainstorm. Like, hey, you know, I saw that you're leading this organization and you do XYZ, personal nugget. I'm hearing that a lot of these sororities, you know, as COVID, you know, the school year is coming down, a lot of them are trying to prepare their students for LinkedIn, blah, 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 blah. Name a potential problem. And then do I ask the question, like, is this something you're seeing or is this related to what you're seeing or what do I, okay, maybe that's what I want to know. What's that? Like, is this so far so good? I want to have an outline by the end of this, but I'm going to just try to execute on. Because I have the details. I'm just trying to, the structure of it. I'm like, ha!
I mean, I think you want to like build trust, provide value, and start a conversation. Like, right. And you know, like I think sometimes depending on how much you know about people or what you think about them or like who they are already is like going to dictate a little bit of the order or how you might do those things. But
okay, yeah, I mean, like, I should change it. Yeah.
Well, it could be like, you know, like, have you heard about, like, did someone that they might know of tell you information that made you want to reach out to them? Like, that builds a sense of trust, like there's mutual connection there,
so I could reference the podcast I was on. Okay,
yeah. Or like, I'm hearing people, you know, I noticed this about you, like I've heard from a lot of other people in similar boats, like this is the challenge they're facing, which is why I thought I'd reach out. Like, here's a resource I even have from LinkedIn or a post or, you know, a podcast, if like you think that's worth sharing to build credibility and provide some value to them for free if they don't want anything. And then like, you know, okay, like, is that something that you're thinking about or that you're interested in or like you're looking for support from? Or I mean, like, what's a way to start a conversation? And maybe it's a question, maybe it's not, you know, like it depends a little bit probably on like your style and who they are. But
yeah, if I put, okay, tell me if this is going to be like spammy or not. So the speaker, like the guy who like helps book speakers for these kinds of things, he's like, put in the full, like I have a full length video of the exact workshop. It's beautifully, when I was at a conference, Google, I think, was one of the sponsors. It was beautiful, brilliant. And I like have this great video and he's like, make sure you send them that video. So like, I don't know if I should wait till they like bite a little bit more to send it to them or put it in the PS. If you want to learn more about me, here you go. But like that trust thing probably will make it less scary for me to put that in there. Like, I should not feel bad about it. I don't want to feel like about it.
I think if you put it in there in the initial response, it should be like a PS. Hey, if you're interested in this, check it out. Don't try to jam it down their throat. Once you start jamming it down their throat, it becomes spammy and turns people off. But if there's just a little tagline in the message that says, hey, you could check out this video, I think that's perfectly reasonable and not spammy.
Yeah, the way you said it, Shiley, if you want to learn more about me, check out this, you know, I think that was perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, that's good. Okay, I feel like I have a lot less wolf about all of this. Oh, hi, Alex.
Hi, I have a question.
Yeah, sure.
The other day I posted on social media an article published about me in the newspaper.
Congrats!
And my business is very small, mainly me, but I used a headshot, and my brother pointed out to me that I should use the logo. What do you think about reposting when you make a mistake like that?
Oh, are you talking about reposting? Like, you posted one of yourself rather than a logo?
I guess I'm just curious, should I, in those situations, should I post a second time, or if it's possible to edit the post, I guess I'm
on Facebook? Where did you share it?
Facebook.
Facebook, you can edit the post, but when it comes to images, I don't know if it lets you edit the images. Gotcha. You're talking about like debating between a logo and a photo. Photos tend to be a lot, especially if it's just you, people don't know your logo as well as they know you. So seeing your face is going to be way more valuable than potentially a logo if your logo isn't fully established. But I don't know if that was your question, but I wanted to share that.
No, Alex, that's helpful.
Alex, is your logo on your Facebook page?
Yes.
Okay, so you're sharing it.
Just to get into a little more specifics, I'm working on a documentary called 2020 Unmasked, and that has its own logo. And so the article was written about 2020 Unmasked, and I posted just a headshot, but my brother told me that I should have posted the logo for the project.
Interesting. I like when they, so if it's a big project that's a lot of you, I would like you in it, but you can also do combine them. Like, there's no reason you can't have both of them in the same picture, but it's not a big deal. I wouldn't say that like it's the end of the world. You can always post something else about it. But I don't know. There's some other thoughts in here. Kitty, you're going to chime in. Well, I see.
Honestly, what you could do is on Facebook, I don't know if they'll let you delete a photo, but they might let you add another photo. So you might be able to add another image to the existing post, or what you could do is you could go down, maybe, I don't know, I'm going to throw this out there and see what everybody else thinks. Could you go down into comments and said, you know, say something like, here's my logo, what do you all think of it? Or, I mean, I don't know. Is that too, like, non-professional? Or
it could work.
I don't know.
It's, you don't have to be perfect, Alex. It is okay. It is okay. Awesome. I think what Kitty said, too, that's something definitely to look into. So, interesting. There's been this is a great chapter. Like, y'all are amazing. Like, y'all already know you're amazing, but I'm just going to emphasize. I've gotten so much insights. it's great. Other thoughts, comments, questions? I'm in for all of this. Like, whatever it is, any topic. Like, I have been so helped. I am so grateful.
I think that's an important part, right? Being able to listen, you know, and hear and adapt. So that, kudos to you.
Oh, thank you. I love feedback. I do. I love it. If you have more feedback that you're like, I just had to tell her this, like, feel free. Like, I am one click away on LinkedIn. I see a few of you have requested me. I'm going to add you all. Thank you. But yeah, I love feedback. That's how I thrive on it. So
I'm just curious, do you have a rule of thumb hourly, like a range?
What do you mean?
In terms of the businesses you work with.
Like a range of what kind of businesses I work with?
A range of, like, when you're setting up that relationship, what you're, I may have missed this part of the presentation, but do you charge hourly or do you charge project-based or what's your model?
I don't like hourly. But some people are trying to, like, box me into that, and I just don't like that because it's like, it's not about the hours I spend with them. It's about, like, the ongoing support. So I like trying to make a package. Because it's like not about the time that I spend, because I'm like available via messages. Like, I will respond to someone in a few business days. Like, if they have a question, if like someone just asked me last week, they're like, can you look at my LinkedIn profile? I was like, yeah, absolutely. I'll do that for my client. So like, it's not about the amount of sessions that we do. It's usually a package. There's things that start in the hundreds, like the hundreds for a project to the thousands. It really just depends on the person, but there's, I adapt it a little bit, but it's a premium service. So, but usually the video review is a really low barrier way for people to get some insights and get things moving. But I think there's a lot of value in the ongoing support. So
awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, Kitty wrote. Oh, Kitty wrote a very nice message. But yeah, there's a lot of low stress ways to get involved. Yeah, the video reviews have been, people love that. Like they're just like, oh, I had no idea. It'll give them a lot of things they can do immediately to get stuff done. Is it an ongoing plan? Not necessarily, but it'll help people see what they're missing with their marketing and potentially where they're missing the biggest opportunities. So, and it's a video, like literally me looking in all of your stuff. My first impression is always really like extra special. I like people tell me, oh, can you just peek at my LinkedIn? Like, no, I will not look like unless it's a service because my first impression is the best one. And I don't want to look preemptively before we work together. Cause they're going to miss out and I want them to get the most benefit. The best ideas are my first impression. So yeah. So that's me. I always love to tell people my favorite social media quote. This is the epitome of like how I see social media. Somebody else wrote it, but I feel like it's mine, but it's not mine. Social media is about the people, not about your business. Provide for the people and the people will provide for you.
I like that.
Yeah. That's me.
Very true, because it's about people, business, whatever.
Yes. And I think if anything, like I know, James, you've been telling me a lot of good sales nuggets. I'm like, what I do for my clients is I connect their worlds together. I need to connect what I'm already really, really good at to like outreach, because I'm actually really good. Like I love, like I tweeted at that guy and got to know him via Twitter. And I'm like, I'm really good at that. And I'm like, I need to connect those worlds together. And I don't think I have. So if anything, I need to like find out where my superpowers overlap with the sales process. So, yeah, it's good. So lots of thinking.
Yeah. So we're pretty close to the end of our time. Does anybody have a last second question to ask?
Anything, social media, not social media tips, something. I'm here.
No. All right. Then we're going to finish it up with the last question of the day, which is how can the 1 million cups community help you? Ooh,
this is great. So, who keeps calling me? Someone keeps calling me. So there's actually, did I not have this slide up? I have a slide that has like a few things of like potential introductions. Apparently it is not on my screen. I love working with like groups of entrepreneurs. So if someone has like a bucket of like entrepreneurs that they work with, that they all need like social media training, like I love when I get to do that with a group. So that's one thing. Like sometimes I've been saying like I love chambers of commerce. I love apparently people keep telling me to go to Rotary clubs. So like there's groups like that. Those are things that I'm working on. Like I said, I'm still working on structure of like, how do I like, maybe how I actually do this cold outreach. I'm terrified. I'm sure there's like some bad money mindset situation that I could probably get over. So there's a lot there. Gosh, I had this all written out too. Getting better at all of those things are huge. Universities or high schools that I'm doing a lot of high school workshops about LinkedIn, and especially empowering young women to showcase themselves online, to have them showcase all their work that they've done in high school on their website or on their LinkedIn or whatever, to like let an internship know how special they are. So those are things and opportunities that I like welcome, and I love to cheer on groups in your own communities. So if there's any insights on where I should look into or groups that might benefit from something like this, I'm all ears. That's a little bit of how 1MC can support me. And if there's other groups that you think I should be at, like I'm here. So thank you for all the insights. I really, everything that we've had today, like more of that is always appreciated. So thank you very, very much.
Well, thank you, Shali, for taking the time today. And we appreciate it. And well, that concludes 1 Million Cups of this week. We'll be back. We do have a speaker next week, so we will be back next week as well. So, and everybody connect with Shiley and ask all your questions offline.
I'm on LinkedIn, so I look forward to seeing you on LinkedIn.
Awesome. Thanks, Shiley. Have a good day, everyone. Thank
you. You're wonderful.
Thanks for listening to this week's speaker. And thank you for your continued support of 1 Million Cups and our community of entrepreneurs.